Well, it's another Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, Heartspiration. Happy Saint, happy hour, fans. Good Lord, I'm going to get my life together soon. Are you all ready for some cocktails and conversation?
Yes,
we are.
I know we were just chatting it up right now. I wish we could have been online, but you know what? We're going to get the party started right now.
Are you ready for cocktails and conversation? Are you ready for cocktails and conversation? Are you ready for cocktails and conversation? With your host, the unapologetic diva, Dr. G, the girlfriend therapist, Dr. Cortina Lewis, and the networking extraordinaire, Diana Richardson Phillips.
Are you ready for cocktails and conversation? This is Herspiration Happy Hour.
Well, it is Wednesday, and this is your unapologetic diva, Dr. G, or I got Dr. Pamela up here right now.
This is Cortina Peters-Lewis, a.k.a. the girlfriend therapist.
And this is Diana Richardson Phillips, a.k.a. your networking extraordinaire.
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, of course, we always get started with a cocktail signifying that, well, you know, kind of around our theme for today. So Cortina, come on with it. What are we sipping on?
So, you know, we're going to be talking about triumphs and trials. So I kind of was thinking about this and I was like, you know what, we got to create a cocktail that embodies the spirit of triumphs and trials. And so in order to do that, that requires a balance of flavors representing the sweet side of life and success, and also the complexities and challenges that we face. So I'm going to want everybody to get a glass, and you're going to get 1.5 ounces of whiskey, 0.5 ounces of sweet vermouth, and this is for the richness and the sweetness, 0.25 ounces of honey syrup. This is for the touch of sweetness slash complexity. And you're going to do 2 dashes of Angostura bitters for the depth and balance. And then we're going to do a little orange peel twist for the aromatic zest. We're going to shake all of those in a chilled with ice. And we're going to get a highball glass and we're going to pour it over ice as well. And so, like I said, this specific cocktail is able to embody the complexity of a life experiences with the warm whiskey representing triumphs and the deep sweet vermouth bitter symbolizing trials. I'm going to want for you to sip this slowly, savoring each flavor and reflecting on the richness of the human experience as you raise your glass to trials and triumphs.
Yes. Let me raise my water. I don't have it, but I'm going to raise this water and I got some Coca-Cola.
I'm over here diamond styling it today.
Okay. Well, I got Culver's.
Well, okay, okay. Come through with the cocktail. Oh, fully shaken.
I love it.
Okay. She did mention, like, you know, just life experiences all together, because triumphs and trials could be so many different things.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Including kind of us when we got on, we were talking about how we were tired. It's not necessarily, you know, a trial that we're going through, but sometimes coming off of the heels of triumphs, you have that, you know, slope period where you're trying to recover, get your balance back. And that can be, you know, kind of exhausting for individuals. And I think that's a position where, you know, I can speak for myself, but I think my co-host, we share the sentiment that we're a little bit exhausted.
Yes. Being exhausted has become a part of my norm. I know a lot of people may think that, you know what, that doesn't sound really healthy. But I would like to say this. Now, I like to say there's healthy exhaustion from being productive and doing what you do at a high level. And then there's unhealthy exhaustion where you're kind of like working yourself into migraines and all sorts of stuff. And I've been on both sides of those spectrums. I really have. And I think today, you know, we're pretty much talking about success, the journey to, or maybe even the lack thereof, right? And when I think about that, that's kind of a double-edged sword for me, because I think that the term success means something different to everybody, right? So whatever success means to you, what does that journey look like? Now, I can't speak for everyone out there, and I can't even speak for you two, you know, sister, but I can tell you what it looked like for me. It looks like hard work and dedication. So we're going to get into it today, because I was just telling the ladies, I'm like, you know, everybody says they want it, right? You want it, but how bad do you really want it? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to sacrifice for it? We just sit here, we're saying we're tired. I haven't even slept. Well, I slept a little bit. I went to bed at 3 and I got up at 7. I slept a little bit, but guess what? I still feel good even though I'm tired, because I'm operating on assignment and on purpose. Mm. So as we take this deep dive today, I really want to get into the nitty gritty with everyone. You know, how bad do you really want it? Because if you're not really willing to sacrifice anything for it, that's a whole nother conversation. That's a whole nother conversation, because you're not going to get it. I'm tired a little bit, so I'm just going to let you know. You're just not going to get it. I'm going to give it to you raw. You're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. The journey to success, whatever that means for you, takes hard work, perseverance, and determination.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into it.
And knowing that that journey has ups and downs.
Yeah.
It's a wave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ride the wave. My aunt told me that she said, Diana, you have to ride the wave.
You do. Gotta ride the wave of life.
When it's good, it's good. And everybody know when it's good, it's good. But understand that it comes down, right?
I know we have.
Go ahead, babe.
No, I was saying we got a little bit of technical difficulties. You are freezing and in and out.
I think I just
disappeared for a minute. Am I back?
Oh, so Diana was clear the whole
time. Okay. I'm down here by the Wi-Fi and I'm having technical difficulties.
It was clear the whole time.
Oh, mine was clear?
No, Diana's was clear.
I didn't even know Pam's.
Okay.
So she just said something.
Me neither.
Say what?
Oh, so Pam, yeah, it's you.
Yeah,
say what?
I think she's having some technical difficulties. Dr.
I know, and I don't know why it's me. What? Oh, it'd be me. I'm literally looking at my Wi-Fi box.
Look, we can't control technology.
That's what happens when we're actually live. You know, sometimes these things happen, and it's the double-edged sword, right? The blessing and the curse.
Come on,
we get real life. Hey, we was just talking about riding the wave.
Yes.
If we can speak it, we have to be willing to be able to do it too, right? We got to ride the wave when our podcast. We know when it's hot and we going, and then we run into a little bit of technical challenges. How are we able to relax on impact when unfortunate and uncomfortable situations come in during that, you know, rip current in the waves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know how you do it? By keeping your eye on the prize. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, at least that's what has worked for me. And while we're talking about riding the wave and then those down moments in the wave, right? So what do you do when you're having down moments? What do you do when you're an entrepreneur and things are not going as well? Okay, because money get funny sometimes. You understand, it's real life. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You keep going. You keep going. You can never be persuaded by outward circumstances. I don't allow outward circumstances to dictate what I know I'm here to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to always keep your bigger picture at the forefront. And that's how you stay motivated. And that's how you continue to build and persevere and push to get to your ultimate end goal. Stay focused, people. Stay focused.
That's what you have to do.
Absolutely.
Now, how? What are the things that we can do to help us stay focused? Because there are some people.
Y'all, is this all on me? Because then I'll get into it. Okay, y'all didn't let me know. This is the Diana show. Hold on, let me flip.
We can hear you now.
Okay, that's what I was trying to make sure, because I was ready to change up. I can hear y'all, but I'm trying to test my internet, and I'm just like, I don't know. You know what? See, this is why I can't lie. This is why I have a husband, because he does Fios and all that other tech stuff, and that's his purview. So whenever I have technical issues, that's why I'm like, hey, Jay, you need to come down and fix this. But he's not home, so I'm hoping that it's stable now. So I can be a part of this conversation. I know you can hear me now, but really quick, before we really get started, I also wanted to just update everybody. I know we talked about two missing teens last week. Alexandria Chapman was found. Praise God. One of the teams is back at home. Praise God. I do want to definitely share that we are still missing Janiyah Jackson. So if you were in the Orlando area, whether anywhere up and down Florida, please, call the police. There's the number 407-999-2644. She is still missing, and it's super heartbreaking, but at least one of the two that we reported on right now has been found and is back home. I wanted to make sure and update that before we really, really got delved too far in. So definitely. I'm sorry about that, but go ahead.
Definitely. No, we were just, thank you for that. I'm glad to hear that the one missing teen, that she is home safe and sound. And I'm saddened to hear that the other young lady still has not been found, but we are going to keep prayers alive.
Absolutely.
That she will return home safe and sound.
Absolutely. Okay. So, can you imagine that triumph as a parent? But,
No.
That's a trial that no parent should ever have to even go through. But when we talk about success, Diana, you talked about some of the things about success and it meaning different things to different people. So I'm curious, Cortina, what about for you? What does success mean to you?
Being able to live life the way that I want it. I don't think it's about how much money is in the bank or how world traveled I could be or what designer or whatever, because I don't really care about stuff like that. But it's about me being emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and physically in a place where I want to be.
Yes.
Where I am comfortable, where I am enjoying what is happening around me, where I have the love and support of the people that are in my circle, where my daughter and bonus children are balanced and they are able to receive the things that they need, not just monetary, but the love that children deserve. That is what success is, because sometimes we work so hard and all of the other circles, I know you all have heard me talk about the circles of life. All of the other circles in our lives are just falling apart. So family is falling apart. Social life is falling apart. Spirituality, intimacy, physically, emotionally, the home life balance, all of those things are falling, but the career is thriving. And a lot of people are like, I'm successful. Well, you're successful in your career. But when we're talking about life success,
right,
how balanced are your circles? And if I can keep my circles balanced, I would say that equates to success for me. Mm-hmm. That is how I define success. Do I feel like certain areas I am successful in? Yes. Have I gotten to the place where I feel like I have the ability to keep my circles balanced at the same time? That is something I am working towards. So I am actively working towards having life success in all of my circles.
And that's an ongoing journey, because things change.
It does.
As we were discussing last week, things change in our personal lives all the time. We change as human beings the older we get, things change. So that's an ongoing situation. I like to say, that is a journey and not definitely the destination. you know, and you have to be able to adapt to those changes. But I certainly agree with you with defining success in that way, because it is a complete circle and it's not all about the money. Mm-hmm. Money helps a little bit, but it's not the end all to be all.
Right.
It's right. not.
And also understanding that. So for example, right. Working towards getting that, when you getting it, when you're maintaining it, that also means being able, like I said earlier, relax on impact. So when something gets shaken up here, it's still balanced. It's just something that may have happened where I have to pivot or adjust a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the circle mm-hmm. can stay balanced even when I have to shift and adjust the way in which I'm balancing it.
That's right.
So for example, let's just say I get sick and my health, part of my health circle was going for a mile every day. I'm not going to say my circle is not balanced because I had to take a week off because I was sick because I didn't run. So now my health balance is up. No, I'm just adjusting to life situations. I'm dealing with life on life's terms. That does not take away from ultimately that health circle, or part of the health circle, because just running is not all of it. Part of the health circle being balanced. Part of me right now, I'm trying to make sure I drink my whole jug of water. This is part of the health circle, trying to get it balanced. Now, I'm going to be very transparent and very honest. Y'all know I had a double cheeseburger and some fries and everything. So I am working towards getting the whole thing balanced. I have a PET scan that I need to get done. All right. So there are some things in my health circle that are not where I would like for them to be. However,
yeah,
one sip at a time.
One sip at a time. I like that. One sip at a time.
All I can do.
No, one sip. Take a sip. Let me get my water. Hold on.
I have a 64-ounce gallon jug that I try to go through. That's and good. I do a good, like 40. Wait, yeah, I do 40 something. Well, after the day I had, I'm sipping.
I ain't mad at that. I mean, this is 40, I think.
Yeah,
and I drink about 3 of these a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had a lot of water today, though. I have a lot of water. But I think success for me is so cyclical. And it to me that, you know, depending on how I define success could be, hey, I finished my bathroom. It's a success. I'm talking like I was painting and remodeling, you know, changing stuff around. Oh, I finished. I love the way it looked. That's a success to me. Yeah. I have learned to have and enjoy small wins. And so every little thing to me is I consider a success, because one, every day that I get to wake up and breathe is a success for me.
Absolutely.
You know, but I do think that with success, like with life, I think there's always going to be trials and tribulations that you will go through. But I think that that's what makes us stronger. That's what how we know that we are resilient. You definitely cannot understand how hard you have to work and to get to success until you go through it. Because if it's easy, is it really worth it? I mean, anybody can do it, and everybody does do it when it's easy. It's the hard stuff that nobody wants to see through. So when people see it through, it's like, oh yeah, this is a win for me, because it, and what's difficult for me might not be difficult for you, and what's difficult for you might not be difficult for me. So we all, you know, we're all made different. And so we handle trials different, you know, and so the way that we celebrate those things are different as well. So I'm always toasting to, you know, my triumphs, you know, and my successes.
You know, when we think about triumphs, though, or maybe not triumphs, but, you know, the
trials, yeah,
the trials, I'm saying triumphs, but the trials, you know, people, and I don't know which area I want to speak to. I don't know if right now we're speaking in terms of entrepreneurship or if we're just speaking in life in general. Well, but maybe, you know, I can just, I will definitely say that I'm just going to put it to both, right? I'm going to speak to both realms, because any trial that you go through, and while I'm not saying that all trials are the same, because they're not, you know, but you have to have a certain wherewithal within yourself when facing trials, because a lot of people, you want to fold, right? Or let me go ahead and start preaching. It'd be like, you want to faint, right? You know, you got a whole bunch of stuff on you and you just want to just, you just want to throw in the towel, because I've been there, right? Just want to go get in the bed. Like, I can't take it. I just want to go get in the bed and just take a nap for the rest of the day, or better yet, for the rest of the week. But when you have a mission that you're trying to accomplish, you can't do that. So you have to have like a certain, I don't even know how I want to phrase this, because I don't want to sound preachy right now, but at the same time I do. But you just really have to dig deep within yourself and, again, keep that bigger picture front facing. And when the trials come, you always have to train your mind, because it really starts in your head. It really does. It's how you're viewing it. You can view a trial as, oh, this is a big obstacle, I'm never going to be able to get around it. Or you can truly view it as a learning opportunity for yourself. You can look at the different obstacles and challenges that you have as an opportunity to learn and grow. And I know for me personally, when I have handled my trials and tribulations that have come as an entrepreneurship, in my marriage, in my family, in life in general, right? Even prior to me becoming, you know, an entrepreneur, in my career, there were always trials, but it was always the way that I looked at it that made the difference. So when you look at trials that come, that for learning opportunities, how can I grow through this? How can this grow me as a person? It will change how you look at it, and it will put you in a forward motion, as I like to tell you. And you just stay front facing. And before you know it, you're on to the next chapter.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about something, because we talk about triumphs, we talk about trials. I think the one thing that, what I heard you say and what we've all been talking about here, I think within to overcome trials, sometimes it takes accountability. And I think that so many people focus on work or in one, Cortina, you know, you have your little breakout areas. They focus in one area instead of holding themselves accountable for other things. And so then they begin to play the blame game. And I'll say, I feel like this is where jealousy comes in. When you have somebody who is, you're seeing them thrive and seeing them success, but you don't really see all the work that they're going through, the sleep that they are losing. But you're watching them win. And so you start to feel some kind of way instead of holding yourself accountable for not doing what you need to do in order to succeed. Because your focus is somewhere else, but it's not really on that filling those circles. So if your family is falling apart, but you're worried about somebody else's family, take control of your own and hold yourself accountable to say either I'm not speaking up, I'm not getting what I want, this is not serving me. But you can say that in almost any area between life, relationships, work. If it's not serving you, you have to look at your own self and hold yourself accountable as to why not.
Yeah, but you know, Pam, that's a real sticky topic to me. You know, we could probably take the rest of the show on this topic, that one right there. I mean, I'm dead serious, because there is a lot of that. You know, people look, you know, you can see things from the outside. Ooh, that looked good. Ooh, it looked like she's doing this and she's doing that. And who she thinks she is. And ooh, I'm going to do that too. But no, you have to stay in your lane, because you can't be Diana. You can't be Pam. You can't be Cortina, but you can certainly be you. Mm-hmm. You can always be you. And you're right. People don't know the sleepless nights. People don't know the grind, the grit, the things that we have to do.
The health issues.
Listen. People don't get it. And that's why I say all the time, how bad do you want it? What, and not even how bad do you want it? What exactly is it that you want? Because if you can't clarify that for yourself, well, then yeah, never mind. I'm gonna leave it right there because I'll keep on talking about that because that topic upsets me a little bit because I feel that a lot.
I definitely, you know, share with people because of where I am. I get a lot of people are like, "Oh my God, like you have so much. Like, how do you come up with the stuff that you come up with?" I'm like, "Yeah, I have a very creative mind, but at the same time, don't look at where I am or my life and say I want to be like you." Because I'm like, "No, you don't." And I'm talking about from a physical standpoint. My life has been physically painful. Pam and Diana, you both know I'm a two-time cancer survivor and I live with lupus right now. And so sometimes out of the blue, I might not be able to walk or it's painful or I can't walk long distances. And so for a long time, I would take a picture of me every day. And I started doing this after I got out of the hospital. So in 2018, I was in the hospital for 20 days, and then I got out, and then I had to be put back into the hospital. And so I had lost like 35 pounds. Like, it was ridiculous. I couldn't speak. I had a feeding tube. It was really, 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 really bad. And so once I started getting better, I was taking a picture of me every day because I said, this is a depiction of, I don't look like what I might be feeling like.
Come on.
And so you see me on social media, but you have no idea what it took for me to get here. You have no idea the pain that it took for me to walk down the stairs or for me to do something or for me to raise my hand or for me to even get back because I had to retrain my voice because I had been silent. Not talking, not using my vocal cords, not doing anything. I'm a therapist. This is how I work. Like, I cannot be without a voice. And how scary life can be. So when you have people that are looking at you or even being jealous, like, oh my gosh, she got this. It came so easy. You don't know anybody's story. Just because somebody looks great and they look like they're smiling all the time, you really don't know. That's one of the things why I tell people often, do not compare yourself to anybody, especially, you know, how they have like goals and stuff on social media and all of this. You don't know what those people are going through. Yeah, they probably look really, really great on the picture.
Yeah.
But that might not even be their reality. Not saying what I wasn't putting out there wasn't my reality, because it definitely was. But you don't know the storms and the trials.
Yeah.
You don't know what it took to get there. Correct.
That I had to endure to be able to get here where I am, right? Wanting to commit suicide, wanting to run away, sexual assault, the mistrust of religious institutions and organizations, like domestic violence, having a gun pulled on me, like all of these different things. And being in a shootout, like people would not look at someone and be like, oh yeah, you went through all that. Oh, you still standing? Yeah, because it ain't like I got a stamp across my forehead. Yep, been through this. This is how you can come out. Right. No, that's why you have to be able to have faith and be firm and stick and stay on your own journey. Don't deviate into somebody else's lane. Stay in your own lane, because what got somebody to their goal might look very different than what's going to get you to yours. So how do you celebrate other people's wins without allowing the divisiveness of envy and jealousy seep into you because you haven't gotten there yet? If you stay
better yet, but why even? And this is what I challenge people, instead of allowing those feelings of jealousy and envy, because let me just say, it can be normal to have jealous feelings, to have those types of feelings. But why not take that and let it fuel you on your way? Let that fuel you toward where you would like to go, you know, and like you said, I like to tell people, get, keep, and stay in your lane. Find it and stay over there.
But I think one of the things is that is a very human thing to become jealous, But when you start reframing your mind, that automatic reaction or response to have mm-hmm. that streak of jealousy, you have mm-hmm. to check it and yes. question and challenge yourself. Okay, well, I'm trying to cover over this person's gift or whatever it is that they have going on. You have to be able to check that, because if you check it every time it comes up, at some point,
you'll stop.
That's not even going to be a part of it. And you're going to really be able to celebrate people because you have been able to disconnect and disassociate your own success with theirs, because it's not a competition. So if That's I right. understand fundamentally that it's not a competition,
yeah,
what you got going on ain't going to affect me. So I'm not going to be jealous about it at all. But it takes practice. And that is something that people are not necessarily able and willing to do. They don't even know to challenge and check it, right? Because it's normal. Absolutely, it's normal for it to come up. But when you get to a place where you have been practicing and checking and channeling those negative emotions or thoughts or that yeah. inner critic that comes up about yourself, you're mm-hmm. going to get to a position where you're only able to celebrate without now still having to check and question why this jealousy might be coming up.
Love that. Love that. Yeah. I like to tell people to begin to affirm over themselves. Begin affirming you, because when you start really feeling good about where you are, no matter where you are, feel good about where you are. And if you're not feeling really good about where you are, what can you do to make your situation better? Because there's always options. Affirm yourself and your world to change. I know mine did.
So here's my thing. And I'm just going to be honest, and it's not me being hard or anything. I think life experience for me has shown me something differently, that like Cortina, you said, you know, I don't look like where I came from. And I know that social media can often give a false representation, because we didn't have, well, I didn't have the way social media is now. You would not have been able to see my journey. But I also think that parts of my journey was quiet. You know what I'm saying? And I did not feel comfortable, and I was embarrassed to share. So when mm-hmm. I did, I wrote about it, and people even then, they was like, girl, you were bold to write about your life like that. But sometimes it's like the lesson is there, but you don't have to, I don't have to explain where I came from to explain to you where I am now. The fact that I got here, I don't need you to celebrate. That's not your place to celebrate unless you choose to. But I learned, I know that I validate myself. I had to learn how to validate myself and what that actually meant to me. And so when people have these things, well, she thinks she's all of that. She thinks, you damn right I am, because I know where I came from. But I don't have to explain it to you to make you feel good. Mm-hmm. I'm not validating your feelings over the things that I had to go through. I'm just not going to do it.
Well, I don't think Cortina meant that you have to necessarily explain our journey to people.
It's I know that. I'm just
understand.
I know that.
Know, there are some outward appearances.
Exactly.
And we all know people. This social media.
Oh, yeah. But some people feel the need to put their whole, they have to see your whole life. They have to, order to you know, and they validate the negative. And that's the thing that I don't like. They want to see people perish. They want to see people down. They want a reason to just drag somebody else. But yet never, very seldom do they really take a good look at themselves.
Yeah.
I would say I also think that it's good when we do share our stories. And this is on the other side. It empowers other people to be bold about their own stuff, right? Because I'm a therapist. A lot of people feel like, you know, therapists, y'all should have it all together. No, I'm going to be very transparent with you about the things that I struggled with. Even when I became very established in a Fortune 500 company, how I still struggled with imposter syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing all of this, how I was a domestic violence advocate and was in a domestic violence relationship, right? So being able to be transparent, helping people understand, don't get it twisted. We all have areas in our life that we need to work on, but I'm going to share my story and my hope and my faith and hoping that you would be able to see that you too, yes, can be out of wherever it is, or it can instill something that will make you say, you know what, dang, she was in the hospital for 20 days. They didn't even know she was going to make it. She couldn't even talk. Yeah. And look at where she is today, and being able to say, that gives me a little bit more courage. That gives me a little bit more patience, a little bit more gratitude of my situation and trying to figure out how do I pull myself up, either if it's by myself, if it's with the support of my family or the support of my girlfriends or the support of my family or whomever it is, to get to where I would like to go. Because I might not be able to see myself in it right now, because I might not be that far along, but I can identify where I want to go. And if I keep working at it, guess what? Ultimately, I'm going to get there. And I think if people, and I don't think I'm talking about in our generation, I'm talking about maybe like a little bit later, because they like to put out all the good stuff, but not necessarily the bad stuff, unless they're playing victim. Now, that's a whole different situation. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about playing the victim. Right. But I'm talking about really being able to allow people to see it takes work.
That
you just don't end up, unless you have privilege in certain areas, right? But that's different. Most of us, we have to put some elbow grease into us being successful and getting to where we want to go, despite dealing with life and its trials that come up, that try to overtake us. And so if we are able to share that more, I think that by doing that, we also spread a little more hope.
Well, you know, I'm all about empowerment. That's what I do. But I also say this all the time, you know, I can motivate and inspire and empower all day long. You can't hear me?
No, I said it has to be in you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You took it. You took the word right. But at the end of the day, because you can be inspired and pumped up in that moment. I'm talking to you like, yeah. But at the end of the day, you still have to do the work. You have to do the work. And make no mistake about it, it's work. Mm-hmm. Every day. On the days that you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
On the days when the clouds are gray.
Mm-hmm. Like every day you want to just
stand on your nerve.
Like where you just want to be by the beach with a drink.
Right. Well, thank you. When we on the island.
On an airplane somewhere. Traveling.
Right. We still working.
Yeah.
We still working. I mean, when you have to. I mean, we can unplug sometimes because, of course, that's healthy. But when it's time, when it's things to do, you have to do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that you have to be able to have a mindset toward getting it done. Get it done. Ooh, I just gave myself chills because I mean I talk to myself like this to myself. Y'all, I'm not crazy. Okay, so I'm like she talked to herself. Yes, I give myself motivational speeches. Diana, you got to get in the mirror and get real with yourself sometimes. Like, look,
girl. Today,
no bullshit today. Get this done. Okay. Get it done. I'm just being
facetious. No, trust me. That's me. Like, you got to get your ass up. It's time. You can't. That's me like late in the morning because.
Oh, I ain't there yet. I got to just later. Did y'all see my meme I posted today with D waking up at 4 o'clock and then the other dog getting up at like 11? Y'all got to go see
y'all
it.
Y'all know I haven't been on.
I did see it. Like I did see it. I was like, that's. But you know what, low-key.
Text messaged me. I didn't get it.
I'm fighting for my life in the morning.
You know what?
I swear, that look of the that dog, that is low-key every morning. He gets up, when I say he sleeps so hard, he wake up looking like, is it time to wake up? Like,
it must be nice.
That's what you know. When Jay says that every day when it's time for him to go to bed, because I mean when he goes to work, and I'm still sleeping or I'm laying there. Sometimes I'm just laying there and I'm just in prayer or meditation or whatever. And he's like, must be nice. And I don't even know if he's talking about me or the dog because we both still be kind of.
See, and that's the thing. Like, I sleep in sometimes, but for the most part, I get up. Mm-mm. And I'm going to tell y'all something. and I know some people might counter me when I say this, probably y'all too, but there's something about getting up early, starting your day. You know, I start my day with prayer, but I'm up at 6 a.m. or earlier, because it all goes back to, what do you want? There's only so many hours in the day.
You're right. My hours are nighttime. There are
only so many hours in the day. What are you going to do with your day? If you sleeping until 10, 11 o'clock, your day damn near gone.
No, but you got to know when you are most creative.
Thank you.
I can't create when the sun is up. I can't create when the sun is up. All of my best ideas and my best stuff.
In the middle of the night, too.
Midnight. 1 o'clock, when I'm, that's when my creative, you see, I'm in the dark right now. I don't like the light.
It don't look dark.
I don't like to open my curtains. If you come into my house, it ain't me that open the curtains. I don't got no dark spirit now, because I feel like I am the light, but I prefer darkness.
And so,
a lot of my stuff come in dreams too, because I like night. Everything that hits me, my creative juices, my dreams, everything in the thick of the night. And I feel like, because the house is more quiet,
it's that part.
My mind is more quiet, my rhythm is kind of at ease and at peace, I feel like I am more sensitive to the creative side of my brain.
But I'm not talking about being creative. I'm talking about execution. Because I'm a night owl too.
Well, that's when I do my work.
The creative part kicks in for me when I was about to say something bad on air. When everybody in this house is quiet, sleep, like it's just, I can hear a pin drop. That's when I have my most creative capabilities. But then I got to execute certain things. When it's execution time, I'm up. I don't sleep. I go 20, y'all know,
That's not healthy.
So you know what? I'm going to say this. So that used to be, it used to be me being up all times of the night. Now, I used to get up early in the morning, work a full-time job, get in, and I would be up. And once I'm creative, because I'm creative in the evening, so sometimes I can't shut it off. So Jay shuts it off for me, because for years, I was going, sleeping three, four hours. Like I will work until 5 in the morning, go to sleep, wake up at 8 and get back on it. But now I've made the conscious choice to value time with family, friends, whatever, or even with myself over having to work. Now, I feel like it's rough because I'm up in the middle of the night and I can't sleep. So I'm drafting things. I'm writing notes when I can't sleep. I'm doing things until I can fall asleep. But I'm not up at a computer working like I used to. But again, I feel like, and maybe it's because I'm getting older, that I'm valuing the time. I'm getting to lay in bed with my now husband and I have my dog with me. And then I can get up in the morning and I know for a fact I can still, by the time he get home, I can still work a 10-hour day, 11-hour day. But even if I'm up late because I'm in a creative mode, when he say I'm getting ready to go to bed, I'm like, cool, let's go to bed. Cause I have a rule in my house. You lay down, I lay down, and he don't agree with that. Cause when I'm tired and I'm like, I want to go lay down, and he's like, okay, see you. No, we all going to bed right now. You can, once I'm comfortable and then you can get up and go back.
But that was an argument with me.
I'm just saying, but I think at this age, and I'm watching people just pass away that are in their 30s and 40s. I'm starting to value where I place my time. Mm-hmm. And if I'm in my creative zone, when I hit it, I'm going to do what God asked me to do, because he already let me know I'm not going to have to work that hard to achieve what he needs to, as long as I'm doing the work. So for me, feeling like I have to force myself till I'm exhausted mentally, and then have to get up the next day and redo something because I was working off of exhaustion, or because my mind wasn't there and it's wanting to be somewhere else, I'd rather put my time wherever it's at. Now, like I said, I lay in bed next to him and he'd be sleeping. I'm on my phone drafting things that come to me at night. Well, things, because I get things that happen to me at night. My whole children's book series came to me in my sleep. So, and I'm like this, let me write this down. I got to write this down. And then I have to, I know that I've written enough that by the next day it will jog. And I hate when you ever have those things happen and you don't write it down and you're pissed off at yourself because you're trying to remember. Yep. So that's why I keep the phone by my bed. I keep the notes there. But ultimately, I had to learn how to value having a life and having experiences over giving work and work and working until I drop. I don't want that to be my life. I'm not saying
that is helpful.
That's how hard I was. That's how hard I was working. I was.
Yeah, I ain't doing that.
No, I've stopped that. But I will say, when I get in my creative zone, is what I like to call it, or when I have execution time, because there's seasons, right? There's certain things that go on that when the execution. The universe appreciates action. Let me just put it out. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, you know, Godspeed. When you have something, take action. Period. Now, am I saying to work until you're exhausted and you're not thinking clearly? No, I'm not saying that. When you need to rest, rest if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
But move. Is what I'm saying. Me personally, like I've been up, you know, I've only had a couple hours of sleep, but I'm actually good because what I was doing, I don't know why I'm good. I'm just good. I don't know. I'll probably crash tonight. Yeah, y'all know I crash, but I get it. And I love that you told that story about Jay, because this weekend I had so many meetings and all this stuff. I had a whole bunch going on. And Saturday I was on a call and I wasn't supposed to be working. On Saturday, like I've specifically said on Saturdays, I'm not doing that. This family time, you know, Diana, mm-hmm. you're not doing it. But this Saturday, I had some things to do. Some SIBO came in my office, like, are you still on the call? I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be off in a minute. And I kind of like, you know, because I was on a call. So I got off and he was like, well, I was gonna say, you know, did you wanna go out, you know, get something to eat and drink? And my immediate reaction was no. Because I had all of these things to do and I had to check myself. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what, Diana, you're going to go out with your husband. Y'all going to get something to eat and you're going to have a couple of libations. Okay. And you're not working. You're not working today. You're going to put it down. So you do have to know when to take a step back. But that's a personal thing. Like you have to know yourself.
Oh, yeah. But I think it also depends on the field you're in, right? Yeah, I am patient facing.
Yes.
I ain't finna be calling nobody else. I tell them when I'm available and that's right. When I meet. I don't see now. It used to be, except for Fridays, I try not to see clients before 10 and 11 in the morning. Why? Because I am sleepy. I don't like mornings. I hate waking up. And I think. You have to be able to know your body. Even when I do wake up, I'm like, I ain't motivated. I don't even want to do this because I don't even know what I'm doing right now. I don't have to make certain calls to certain other businesses. I'm not in that type of field where mm-hmm. I need to be up during business hours. Contacting other people. My clients know when it's their time to come see me. If I need anything, most of my stuff is via email. So I would say if you are in a industry where you need to be contacting other businesses, mm-hmm. you better be up so that you can make contact with those individuals. But depending on, and I think this also goes to knowing you, mm-hmm. knowing what works best for you. If I have to go take the kids to school in the morning, I hate it. But my husband's not going into the other office for his SAG gig or whatever anymore. And he was like, you know, you're back on duty. I'm like, oh my God. Why, Lord Jesus, why? And then I have to come back home. I got to take a nap. I take morning naps every day except for Fridays, because Fridays I drive all the way into the office. So I don't have time. Sometimes if I'm available, guess what? If I don't have no patient to 9 o'clock and I done drop the kids off by 7:20, guess what? I'm going to my sofa in my office and I'm going back to sleep.
I know that's right.
I'm not doing nothing. My mind, it ain't working. And did I say ain't? It ain't working yet. It is not up. But again, like I said, I think you have morning people and mm-hmm. then you have night people. And just knowing, and sometimes in different seasons, it will be different. When I was in corporate America, I can't say I'm a night person. I was, but I needed to be my behind up so I can go to these people. You have to be here at 8 o'clock. Okay, so it was situational.
Exactly.
Morning person. It wasn't because it was my choice. It was because that is who was signing the checks at the time. Now that I'm signing the checks, well, baby, we can't do no. You got an 8 o'clock appointment? Nope. You got 9 o'clock? Nope. Not listening.
Yeah, I don't start mine until 10. But I'm still up in the morning. Like, I personally like to have
my coffee. Yeah, I like to have my coffee. I like to feed my dog. Sometimes I'll make breakfast for Jay, even though Jay said the dog is more, you know, he got it going on more than him. But I often cook Kofi's food in the morning. I don't even make me anything other than coffee because I'm not big on eating, but I've been trying to be intentional. So I've had like yogurt with granola, and I might make me
I'm not doing that.
I'll cook like that for Kofi, not grits and eggs, but I'm saying, but I'll cook for him in the morning.
Oh, I'm not eating. I'm not cooking. I'm not eating. Only thing I'm going to get is my little
power
shot of weight loss supplement that I'm about to drink. It's about 1 ounce. You know, give me that shot. I wake up, brush my teeth, take a bath. Ain't got to do my hair. So this is great. I'm setting my alarm 30 minutes before it's time for me to get on with that patient. That's what time I'm waking up.
Oh, child, I would be late. I couldn't do it. No, I'm anxious and nervous and late.
I don't cook breakfast
either, though. Masebo's the breakfast cooker around here. I'd be like, I can't do it. I need Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks and a muffin. And he can make breakfast, and then I'll eat that too. Matter of fact, I think I want some Waffle House tonight.
Oh,
I'm going down the wrong road.
I have greens on right. Well, I have smoked neck bones on right now, and I plan to put greens in it. Okay. I don't know what
neck bones. I don't know how long. Well, y'all know I don't eat.
You know what? It's not neck bones. Smoked ham hocks.
That's pork, child. You know I can't eat that.
I got my problem. I'm gonna eat it. I have that right now because I'm making fresh greens, and then so that's what you know. If Kofi had for dinner, he had greens, he had sweet potato, and then he had diced up pork chops.
Well, he ate better than me. Okay, then.
Listen,
he does. He eats very well up in this house. Okay,
little way Kofi living.
I got fresh herbs to season his food. So I have like fresh basil, fresh cilantro, fresh sage, fresh rosemary, and I'll sit it in the pot with it to kind of give it some flavor. So I love to cook. And I'm gonna tell you how much I love to cook. Jay got home and he was like, yeah, just make me a sandwich. And I was like, okay, cool. A cold cut sandwich or like a sandwich that had cold cut meats on it. So he goes downstairs to take a shower. He comes back up. Not only had I sliced peppers and onions and I done diced up the cold cut meat. I done stir fried it all and put cheese with it and toasted the sub bun and everything. And he was like,
okay.
That's what I'm talking about. You can come on over. Come on.
But
thank you.
I'm like,
I would like that.
Remember what I said, though. My love language is food, and my therapy is cooking. It's where I can just zen and focus, and it's just nice. And so I think, so for me, that's kind of how I'm able to deal with some pressure and really start to evaluate things. And because it's my way to take a step back.
Yeah.
Because I take care of me. I mean, I need to start taking care of me better medically. But I mean, just going to the doctor a mess is a lot. But I've got all my doctor's appointments between now and June. Because I can't always tell people, advocate for your health. And then I don't drag my ass to the doctor the way I need to.
Amen.
Except for this time of year. This is my mammogram. Well woman. I just had my well woman. I have my mammogram next week. I have my,
I make my well woman exam. Yes,
I have all of my appointments set up between, May and June. But this time, April, I have my well woman's early. But I think it's important that as we are looking at successes, you know, like I love your view, Cortina, of just being successful in every area of your life, not just with work, but with relationships and with, being able to focus on everything.
Absolutely.
I think that's vital.
Very important.
So before we go, I want in less than 30 seconds, I want to know from you all, and then I'll share. What do you think was one of your biggest failures that got you where you were today? Like, okay, it shaped who you are. What do you feel like is one of your biggest failures?
That shaped who I am? I wouldn't really consider it a failure. There were many things for me that shaped me into the person that I am today, going back to childhood trauma, to domestic abuse, to dropping out of school. Like, there were many things that shaped me as a person, but I think that the one thing that truly catapulted me to really step out into my entrepreneurial book, because I was already doing entrepreneurial stuff. You know, I already told you I had my hand in everything. But when I was, and I hope they're not watching because I'm not supposed to talk about it. But anyway, I was laid off from a company that I worked for a very long time. And I'm gonna keep it short, extremely long time. And it was a round of us, all Black people. Okay. And they said, oh, we're restructuring. And because you don't have a degree, what they say, they tried to say I didn't have a degree. I was like, what do you say? I was like, I got like three, like, what y'all talking about? But at the time, we had a new manager that came on. I'm just going to summarize it. And she was a racist. Bottom line, because she didn't like me. I knew my job, her job, and everybody else's job backwards and forwards. And I was overly nice to her, you know, like I tried, because that was me. You know, I really wasn't. She just didn't like me. So long story short, some things after that experience, I said to myself, I will never be in that type of situation again where I'm going to allow another person to dictate my livelihood.
When you said it, I was like, I don't consider anything I've experienced like a failure.
Right.
Like, I can't think of anything and say I failed. Not unless it was a test, like at school. I failed. If I got an F, I failed. I don't feel like there's anything in life I failed at. Are there things I feel like I could have improved upon? Of course. I think earlier in my career, when I was more focused on getting to the level at which I was aspiring to, I think missing critical moments in my daughter's formative years was something that, and I even wrote about it in the book, how I carry guilt, not while I was in it, but afterwards. Reflecting back on different things that I had missed because of the pursuit of career status, placement, education, all of these things to be able to. So it's like a blessing and a curse, right? Yeah. I did all that, but at what risk?
That part.
But again, I did all that. Now I'm able to live the life and give to my daughter what the plan was, you know, along. So there was like a blessing and a curse, because when you're working towards something, there are some things you're going to be willing to risk. What you have to ask yourself is the risk worth the reward?
Yes. That's a good one. That's a good.
I think
for me, where I'm the type of person, I don't look at failure as a negative thing. I look at failure as a way for me to sit back, reflect, and figure out how to navigate something different. I feel like where I failed myself was focusing so much on career that I never paid attention to my personal life. And so because of that, what I did was choose all the wrong people in my life, overcompensated. You can go. Go ahead and come back. Overcompensated. I know. overcompensated on, you know, school. It was like, you know what? I'm driven. and I missed all the red flags. But when I finally did take that step back after the last terrible relationship I was in, and because I was so, I was already kind of there, and I thought, you know what, maybe now, but my blinders were still down because I still, I never really knew who I was because all I had been was school and work, school and work, school and work, school and work. Mm-hmm. And so for me, overcoming a very toxic relationship gave me focus for me to just say, you know what, bitch, if you don't fix yourself, you don't need to be in no other kind of relationship, but you deal with you. So I took the time to deal with me, and I dealt with me to a point where it was like an enlightenment, and it yielded who I am now. It really shaped who I was because I got to know who I was. And that was something that I didn't know. So by the time I met Jay, I knew who I was, and I'm still that person. And not, I mean, of course, evolution happens, but I'm still the same person where my happiness comes first. If I'm not happy with me, then I already know that something is wrong because I'm choosing me. I started choosing me. I choose me over everything, not just my personal relationship, even my outside friendships. I choose me. I stand up for me. I advocate for me. I have always silenced because I had, you know, because of childhood trauma that I didn't even realize that I really had.
But I would say, as a clinician, I would still, if you were my client, I would reframe it, because when you say I failed at this, I would say it wasn't a failure. It was a trauma response, and your behavior was connected to what was unhealed in the womb. Right. And so you only could connect yourself with people maybe who you didn't want, shouldn't have been connected to. You only could do what you had the capacity to do, because you were operating from an unhealed, trauma-filled perspective. So like I said, even my client said, oh, I failed at this. Was it really a failure, or were you operating from the position at which you were? But that's for another day, another topic. But go on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But like I said, the way that I do failure is not the way that most people view failure. To me,
I think failure is neutral. I think it's neutral. It's not a good or a bad.
Yeah, that's an opportunity.
I think it's a learning. I think failing at something is an opportunity for growth.
I think area Absolutely. Of improvement is better.
You can't know what it's like to win unless you know what it's like to fail, and you don't know how to process emotions.
Lose
if you don't fail. Never failed at it. You can't process emotions over failure.
No. I think it's a loss. That's not a failure. I think losses and failures are different. You win and lose. Those are the opposites. Not win and fail. It's win and lose. Fail and success might be more comparable than, you know, win and fail. So that's why, again, I'm coming at it from a different lens and a different perspective.
But sometimes you don't realize how successful you are until you failed a few times, and you have to fail in order to get some shit right. That's how I think. I'd rather not win at something. Or so my thing is, sometimes you need to fail because you know you did some shit half-assed.
I think you took the shortcut. I think there's a lot of gray area in that. I don't think it's just black and white all the time.
But that's the thing. That's why I said the black and the white is that if you fail at something, it doesn't mean that you quit. To fail at something means that, you know what, you knew you took shortcuts. You knew you didn't give it your full potential. And if you did give it your full potential, sometimes that's God's way of saying that that's not meant for you. We have to fail in order to succeed.
I disagree with that.
Sometimes you just don't
get your desired outcome right away. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. It just means that you have to have the wherewithal to keep going. I didn't just pop out.
Correct.
Like, here I am. Yeah, I'm doing it. Hell nah. I had to just keep doing it. I wasn't getting my desired outcomes from the rip, but guess what? I kept doing it. So just because you do something and you don't get your desired outcome doesn't necessarily count as a failure. You just didn't get your desired outcome. But how bad, I'm going to keep saying it over and over, how bad do you want it? It's an opportunity for growth. Go back to the drawing board. Okay, exactly. What could I have done differently? I'm going to add this. I'm going to do that. I might make a little pivot here, but you keep going.
But when I think about,
go to the bathroom.
When I think about
it's
winning, I think about areas of improvement, right? Because we all have them.
Oh, yeah.
And I think when you're able to reflect, maybe I came up short in this area. Damn, I should have put a little bit more effort into it, you know? Damn, yeah, I came up short. Yo, okay, let me fix this, tweak this. Let me acknowledge, because a lot of times you have to be willing to even acknowledge where the shortcoming was so that you can appreciate, okay, this time I put a little bit more effort into it. And now I was able to get the desired outcome, whatever that desired outcome is.
I'll be right back. To me, I think it's in the words that you use and how you process it mentally. I think that's the essentially, and that's any word. There's a lot of things that have negative connotations that we have totally taken a run with that if you really look at the, you know, look at it, it's, to me, it's not always as bad. I mean, it's a word that exists, but I mean, it's like, oh, we'll find something nicer to say. Well, I don't
want
to say
nothing. I don't
want
any listener to think that I'm saying it's a bad word, but if we're talking
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in general. I'm talking in general. There are words that can have negative connotations when people hear it, but it's not always meant in context negative. I think it's all in how people decide, you know, perceive things. And everybody, you can say the nicest thing to somebody and they can perceive it negatively because of how their culture.
We're not talking about sugarcoating and beating around the bush and everything like that. One of the things I will say when we're talking about reframing your mind, because a lot of people come into therapy and I'm only speaking from a therapeutic lens. They don't say I failed at this. Oftentimes they say I'm a failure, right? Mm. And it's things that are built and built and built and built and built on stemming from childhood. So if that is the negative cognition because of what they would view as multiple failures, it's important for us to reframe that because we need to detach the person, how they're viewing themselves from an actual act. Or something. So most people are not at a level where they can separate, let's talk about in word, I fail versus I am a failure. So that's why I like to make very clear distinctions.
Oh, yeah.
But you're in a different situation. Most people are not there. All different types of people. So making it very clear for anyone who is listening, because the operative word is fail or failure, right? And so for any listener who is out there understanding that if you, we're going to use all the words, if you feel like you failed, you're not a failure. If you feel like you had a shortcoming, you are not a failure. In totality, if you feel like you messed up, you are not a failure. If you feel like you are not enough or you didn't do enough, you are not a failure. Because that is one of the biggest mental blocks that people have that keep them stuck and incapable of moving forward.
Amen.
Where they don't try again.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's what's up. So you know what? We thank everybody for tuning in. We appreciate everybody's playback. I appreciate everybody's comments on all of the clips and the playbacks that, you know, that have been within social media. You know, it's I'm always responding to something for somebody. We definitely appreciate you tuning in. So Diana, where can everybody follow you at?
All social media platforms at Diana Richardson Philippus and at EWE Inspires.
Dr. Lewis.
You can find me at The Girlfriend Therapist on all social media platforms. Also the Noir, N-O-I-R Center on all social media platforms. You can also find me at Sex, S-E-X-D, Unveiled as well.
All right. And you can follow me on all social media platforms at I am Dr. P. Gurley. You can also follow me at the, the BGBB Literacy Foundation, the Brown Girl and Brown Boy series, and then the BGBB Kids Red Carpet. You know, don't forget, if when you hit, when you come to play, do the playbacks, like, subscribe, share, engage with us. You know, we are very responsive on all of the, our social media platforms. Check out, you know, of course, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really appreciate it. And next week, we will be back again having Mindful Margaritas. And as a matter of fact, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So you already know we're about to dig into some conversation around all kinds of things that could affect your mental health. And you never know, with the way we be over here talking, there's so much that, you know, they do say that whenever, that's for a whole nother topic. But, you know, how to remain, you know, mentally healthy. A physical healthy body keeps a mentally healthy mind sometimes. And, you know, Cortina, I'm sure she knows about all of that.
Doesn't mean I practice it.
Yeah. You know what? Okay. We,
on that note, we had COVID.
I cannot. But we'll catch you all here. Oh Lord, same time, same place. So these ladies can eat. Well, not Cortina, because she didn't eat a lot. But we'll see you back next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, Facebook, and IG. Appreciate y'all for stopping in. Cheers. Bye.
This is Herspiration Happy Hour.